So now we begin Perek Shvi, HaTum'ah B'Kotel. Now in this case, we're getting into a whole new issue. And that issue is called a Kever Satum. Well, we actually talked about this before, but we never got into the details. So wherever you have a structure that is completely closed, that contains a mace, or a kezias ben hames, it would be metame ba'ohel, then the entire area becomes the equivalent of a kever satum. So what we're talking about in case of a kever, that's some type of non-natural building that was made, and it contains a mace, and it has no petach that is open, and it does have a tefach, patefach, where the mace, or kezias ben hames, is within. We get to this new halacha, and it's based on the pasuk o bekever, that the kever itself becomes the mace. And therefore, it doesn't matter where the mace is in relationship to this kever. Maybe it's a whole big house. If somebody touches the kever, or the house, then he becomes tame, as if he touched the mace, even though he never got near the mace. Or let's say he's in the same ohel. Let's imagine a box, a coffin that contains the mace, that has no petach, and it's long. The mate is on the right side. The right side is in a room to the right. The left side is in a room to the left. Someone in the left room is going to be tame as if the mace is in that room. And that's because a kever satum was in that room. So now let's think about the implications of that in terms of walls. So let's say we have tuma in the kotel. This is the outside building. Until now, we spoke about where you did not have a tefach al tefach, and therefore you had tuma ritzutza. In this case, we're talking about the equivalent of case, except that over here, the place where the gezias ben hames is actually a cube of mace space, which means it's a tefach by a tefach by a tefach. So then the halacha is that let's imagine a case of an apartment building that's 10 stories high. And you put this kezias ben hames in the lower story outside wall. Then the din is every single home that has a wall that consists of this wall is going to be tameh. Because this wall is a kever sasum. And if it's a kever sasum, then that kever sasum is in the house that this wall is servicing as its outside wall. And therefore, kol ha'aliyot shel gaba, no matter how many upper stories there are, even if there's 10 stories above it, 100 stories above it, I don't care. The entire house that is next to this wall is going to become tummy. Because since it's now inside of a space that has a tefach val tefach, then that entire wall is considered to be a kever satun. Now, suppose this is a large apartment building in which they took the lower floor and they didn't have anybody who wanted to buy a big apartment on the lower floor. So they split the lower floor into two apartments. The kezias min hamet is in the wall between the two apartments on the lower floor, but it's not in the outside. So then what happens is that the second floor is the only floor that will become tameh besides the lower floor, but anything above that is tahar. Because again, the building that contains the mace is that lower wall alone. That lower wall comes to an end at the second story. So if that's the case, so if you have two apartments on the lower story, and then the second story and the stories above doesn't matter anymore, but the second story is one large apartment, so then the second story is tameh, but all of the other stories above it are tahoros, because the end of the kever satum is the ceiling of the lower floor, which is considered to be in the second story, okay? But there's no way for it to get beyond that. How about an equivalent case where you're in New Orleans and they built this dike to try to survive the next hurricane to prevent the sea from breaking into the city? So you're in a shunit. That's the Girsa. We have a shunit is a dike, and the mace is underneath the dike. And over there, since obviously you don't make empty spaces in a dike, that would be pretty stupid, since the point of the dike is that the sand works, and the stronger they are, the more they're going to provide for protection. So if somebody managed to get rid of the body underneath the dike, then the deal is, of course, that the tuma would be bokat va'ola, bokat v'yoredet, and you'd only be tuma if you stood directly on top of the mace, but not anywhere else in the dike, because there's no space inside of it. And it's classic tuma ritzutza, goes up or goes down. Now, how about a nefesh atuma? A nefesh means a marker, so it's like what we would call a tombstone. And it does not contain anything in the tombstone. It's just a marker, but it's atuma, meaning there's no space between the marker itself. I don't care whether the marker has got space inside of it or not. That's irrelevant. But there's no space between the nefesh and the mace that's underneath it. So then that's called a nefesh atuma. And the halacha over there is that if you touch the sides of the nefesh, meaning when we say the sides, it doesn't mean the edges. It could be any part of the tombstone that's not directly over the mace because of what we said in the previous Mishnah. We were talking about the pillar, the neutrinos. The tumah goes directly through it. It does not spread through it. And because of that, the tumah is bokat va'ola, bokat v'yoredet, like any tumah ritzutza, and there's no way that anything to the side of the mace, even though you're touching the actual nefesh, can be metameyu at all. But if there was actually a space of a tefach al rum tefach, so you had now a tuma space, a cubic tefach, in which we had the kezias min hameit, then anything that you touch of that nefesh, even if it's not actually over the tuma of the mace, it's all considered to be part of the kever satum. And since there is a kezias, a mace that is surrounded by a tefach al tefach, or a complete mace, obviously, the halacha is that the kever, together with the nefesh, is considered to be a kever satum, and therefore everything is tameh, even if it's nowhere near the actual mate. Suppose you had such a tombstone sticking up, and you built your sukkah next to this tombstone. Forget about your actual sukkah question of mitzvah, and you're not allowed to be nene, and so on and so forth. So suppose a guy builds a little lean-to against this tombstone, right? So he samach lo sukkot, then the din is the inside of the sukkah is tameh, because even though if we're talking about that it's going up and down, but since it became one of the walls, in this case, it becomes like the case of a wall of a bias. And if there's tuma in the wall of the bias, it's within the area close to the bias, it spreads its tuma into the bias as well, in this case. So it becomes a wall. Rav Yehuda says it's not considered to be a wall. Because, I mean, what you're talking about is something that is a lean-to, is just something that's aroi, and that's not called making it into a wall, and therefore it's exactly the way it was. The tumah is bokat v'ola, bokat v'yored. It wasn't built as a wall, doesn't have the dinim of the wall, and therefore if it's not directly in the actual, if the mace is not under it, it's not considered to be inside of your sukkah, and there's no way for it to spread.